equitable between his consorts, he will never be able to, because this is not something that can be quantified. A man cannot quantify his love. He cannot quantify his inclination. So this kind of equity cannot be, it is something that cannot be practiced. What is in our control is that if polygamy is practiced, then whatever is mentioned in the Sharia, that should be followed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he would say that this is my taqseem, and this is how I have distributed between my consorts, and this is within my power. Of course, if something is not within my power, then I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. So it is encouraged that if polygamy is practiced, then man is equitable between, and he shows equity between all of his spouses. And this verse doesn't discourage polygamy. Rather, it is saying, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining the psychology of man, that this is something beyond him. Love, as I said, cannot be quantified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that love is not something that can be quantified. But as far as distributing the nights is concerned, and this is where the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applies and is applicable, that if one has multiple spouses, multiple consorts, then the nights must be distributed equally amongst the spouses. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the man, he shouldn't lean completely towards one woman and leave his other consort hanging, kal mu'allaqa, that do not leave her hanging as if she is without a husband. Right? Because this is also not appropriate, that a woman is left hanging, it is as if she has no husband, nor is the man giving her talaq, because he just simply doesn't want to give her talaq, he wants to continue to keep her the way that she is. So this is also not appropriate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages taqwa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that if the need for separation is matlub, if it is necessary, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make each of them mustaghni from one another. This man will ultimately find a wife who he will be inclined to, and this woman also will find a husband who she will be inclined to. وَإِن يَتَفَرَقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-embracing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-wise. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. After that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all that is in the heavens and in the earth. Whatever is in the heavens and in the earth, wherever it may be, it all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dominion of these things belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the milkiyat, dominion, the makhluk, the slaves, the people, things that are animate, non-animate, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And absolute control belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that we have advised those who came before you from the people of the book. وَإِيَّاكُمْ, and we advise you as well. What was the advice? And this was a common theme and the common denominator between all the books that were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people it was revealed to, that أَنِتَّقُوا, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and observe taqwa, and observe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obedience. This was the common denominator, and this was the common theme of the previous books that were revealed to the previous generations prior to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the theme of the Quran as well, that it explains the importance of taqwa and being observant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. وَإِنْ تَكْفَرُوا فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. But if you disbelieve, then indeed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. It really doesn't bother Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if one disbelieves. It doesn't bother Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because in the following verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is self-sufficient. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-sufficient and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need the makhluk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anybody to worship him. Rather, the makhluk and the creation need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attain salvation in the hereafter. So those who disbelieve, فَلَا يَضُرُهُ تَعَالَى كُفْرَكُمْ, then it doesn't harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to an iota. And لِأَنَّهُ مُسْتَغْنِينَ, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mustaghni. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need the slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need the makhluk. وَهُوَ الْمَالِكْ لِمَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is malik, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dominion over the heavens and the earth. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-sufficient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all praised. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses that وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. This verse has come three times, and the purpose of this verse coming three times is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consistently wants to stress that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of how one lives his life. It will not benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anybody's worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anyone's help. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is not decreased or increased by people worshipping Him or people not worshipping Him. So it is the same to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is rather the makhluk and the creation that need the help and aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide and protect them, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a wali. This is something that the makhluk needs. So to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs dominion of the heavens and the earth, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, and sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a guardian, meaning كَفَى بِهِ حَافِظًا لِأَعْمَالِ إِبَادِهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a protector. He will preserve the a'mal and the actions of His slaves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on the actions of His slave, فَيُجَازِيهِمْ بِهِمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense each and every single action based on the sincerity of that action, based on the ikhlas of that action. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبُكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ وَأَتِ بِآخِرِينَ. Now if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبُكُمْ, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could make you go, He can make you disappear, He can eradicate you, He can take you off the face of the earth. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبُكُمْ, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, O people, He could have changed you, and He could have eradicated you, He could have finished you off, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have created a different qawm, a different makhluk, or a different group of people altogether who are more appreciative, who are appreciative of the bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who consistently showed obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have done that. لَوْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ لَأَهْلَكَكُمْ وَأَفْنَاكُمْ وَأَتَى بِآخِرِينَ غَيْرَكُمْ, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have eradicated you, He could have finished you off, and He could have brought other people other than yourselves. And this is so that on the face of the earth, people are constantly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. And this has happened as well, that when a qawm disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a qawm better than them. This has happened throughout history, that if one disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a specific people or a group of people, they disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need that group. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need that qawm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need their disbelief. If they opted to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showing obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply eradicated them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done away with them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created another group of people who are more appreciative of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ قَدِيرًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all able. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very capable of doing this. This promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have done it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all able. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا فَعِنَّ اللَّهِ ثَوَابُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, and those who desire the rewards and bounties of the dunya, فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَوَابُ الدُّنْيَا, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses the rewards of this dunya, provided that one obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided that one is consistently has patterned his life on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person, he will not only receive the bounties and favors in this world, but he will also receive the bounties and favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirat as well. So مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَوَابُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, then know that the bounties of the Akhirah and the dunya both are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense you with them, provided that one is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and subservient towards Him. Wa kana Allahu samian basira, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all seeing. Ay man kana yuridu bi amalihi ajra ad-dunya fa inda Allah ma huwa a'la wa asma wa huwa ajru ad-dunya wal akhirah falam yatlub al-ahs wa la yatlub al-a'la. Some people, they desire materialistic gain, and their work for this world, their work or their actions in this world are for materialistic gain. But this is not something that we should be working for. Rather, we should be working for the akhirah. Rather, we should be working in this world to build our akhirah. This is the purpose of being in this world. This is the purpose of staying in this world. So why is it that people are working towards something that is temporary, something that is fani, something that is not absolute, something that is not going to last? Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging that we work for the akhirah. We show our obedience. We show our actions. We base our actions on what we will receive in the akhirah. And this is what our previous generations, this is what they were striving towards. That whatever they did in this world, it wasn't for materialistic, temporary gain. Rather, it was for the akhirat. It was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they knew that the thawab and the rewards and bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses, this will become something that is tangible in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us in the hereafter that this is what you have gained. For whatever you did, whatever efforts you spent in this world, whatever actions you committed in this world, whatever you did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is your reward, this is your bounties, and these are the favors that I will bestow upon you in the akhirah. A person seeing all of this, he will become despondent and discouraged that why he didn't do more, why he didn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better, why wasn't he more observant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, once he sees the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. In the next verse and the following verses after these, this completes the theme of the importance of certain ahkam related to women, and also ahkam that relate to certain things that relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The theme discontinues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then begins the next theme, which starts with Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qisti وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. This is a very important topic. And in the following verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained the importance of justice. And to be an upholder of justice, to be an upholder of following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, and to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, or to follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, then that person needs to be an upholder of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an individual hukum that each and every person is responsible for himself, for herself. Each and every person. And each and every person is going to be asked on the Day of Judgment based on what he has done or what she has done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers in this ayah, because the believers are those who believe in absolute justice, who believe in adl, who believe in qawwa, who believe in qist. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses has mentioned that, O you who believe, kunu qawwamina bil qist, that be those who are upholders of justice, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who attest to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who are mujtahideen fi iqamatil adl. They are mujtahid. They put effort in the establishment and the uplifting of adl and istiqamat, of justice and uprightness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that be qawwam, be maintainers of justice, be upholders of justice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, against what? وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرِبِينَ. Even if that means that you are upholding justice against yourselves, if that means that you are giving shahadat, you are witnessing against yourself, then even then be an upholder of justice. If you are saying something negative about yourself, then be an upholder of justice even in that. Awil walidaini wal aqrabin. Even be an upholder of justice if you are giving shahadat against your own parents. Don't let that be a deterrent, that just because they are your parents, or they are your relations, or they have some kind of familial relations with you, that shouldn't prevent you, that shouldn't stop you from maintaining, from being an upholder of justice. Ay, and in this in this ayah, and this is a very important ayah, that whenever a person is obligated to give any kind of shahadat, to give any kind of testimony, then that testimony should not be tarnished. The testimony should not be tarnished with any false sayings, with anything false. The testimony must ring true at all times, even if that testimony is self-incriminating. Even if the testimony is self-incriminating, even if that testimony means that I am testifying against my own mother, I am testifying against my own father, I am testifying against my own family, even then, do not compromise the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make sure your testimony rings true. Make sure whatever we are saying, it is in accordance to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. We should not look at the makhluk, rather we should look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something, if we look at previous stories and how the Sahaba, how the Tabi'een, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he accepted the testimony of each and every individual, and he made sure that testimony always rung true. It was a true testimony, and it was not biased. Whatever testimony, our testimony should not be biased. Our shahadat should not be biased. And this is the situation now, that our shahadat are biased. إِن يَكُنْ غَنِيًا أَوْ فَقِيرًا. If a person is rich, if a person is affluent, then unfortunately our testimony, our shahadat is biased, that oh, this person is rich. Maybe I might need him in the future. I might need some money, I may need to borrow some money. So let me give a positive testimony, although that testimony may be false. But let me give a testimony so that person shows me some consideration in the future. Or on the other hand, that person, he is a faqir. And because he is a faqir, okay, you know, he's bichara. He's a faqir. He has nothing. What does he have? He doesn't have anything. So he shows compassion. He shows love towards that faqir. And as a result, his testimony becomes tarnished. His testimony becomes biased. We cannot look at the situation of the ghani. We cannot look at the situation of the faqir. We cannot look at our mother or our father, although we want to, although our inclination is there. The inclination, the love is there. We cannot look at our family, although the inclination and the love for our family is there. And this love will always stay there. But that love is there, but the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should supersede that love. It should supersede the love of the mother and father. It should supersede the love of the family. It should supersede the love of gaining the trust and gaining the confidence of that rich person. It should supersede that inclination and trust a man has and the compassion a man has for this faqir, for this poor person. Because ultimately, each and everything, whatever we do, it should be based on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of our sayings, all of our utterances should be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when giving testimony, our testimony should always be true. They should not be biased, rather they should be unbiased. And it should be in support of the Shariat. It should be in support of Shariat. It should be in support of Quran and Sunnah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by saying that be upholders of justice. This is we talk about justice often. That this world is without justice. This world does not have any justice. And how can we establish justice? Well, this is the first step. This is the primary step of establishing justice. That do not be biased. Do not be biased in your testimony. Do not be biased in what you are saying. And this is what is happening throughout the world. That people are biased in their testimonies. People are biased in their shahadat. And this is the first... This is what engenders corruption in society. It engenders corruption in society when people give biased testimonies. And unfortunately, in Muslim countries, this is very common. Not only in Muslim countries, but in these countries as well. These countries, it's more clandestine. It is more in secret. But in our countries, it is very open. So there is no better country But as Muslims, it is our responsibility that we understand the importance of giving true testimony. This is part of our deen, this is part of our religion, this is part of Islam. That our testimony should be unbiased and it should be in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reminds, فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا إِن يَكُنْ غَنِيًا أَوْ فَقِيرًا. That regardless of one party being rich or poor, your testimony shouldn't be in favor to them. It shouldn't be in favor to that wealthy person. It shouldn't be in favor of that poor person. فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most regardful. We should show our complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should show our regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not to our mother or father, even though we are inclined to do so. Not to our family, even though we are inclined to do so. It should always be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very powerful and important ayah, and it shows true allegiance. If one can follow this ayah, truly it shows allegiance, complete allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us this ability, no matter how difficult it may be. We never know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test us with any kind of trial. But this is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are presented with that kind of test, and when we have to give that testimony, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that ability and grant us that strength so that we can give testimony in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teaching. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not follow your whim. In your testimony, do not follow your whim, such as that you may pervert your equity. Such that you cannot, if you are following your hawa, فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ. Do not follow your whims and fancies in your testimony. Don't follow what you want. Because this has perverted your equity in you being fair. If you follow your hawa, if you follow what you want, it will tarnish you being fair. It will tarnish your adal. It will tarnish your adalat. And this was in the previous generations. This was a shart. This was a condition amongst those scholars who were muhaddithin. Those scholars who were conveyors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings and his traditions. One shart, one condition was that narrator had to be adil. He had to be just. He had to be an upholder of justice. Meaning that if he did something that was contrary to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command and to the prophetic teachings, then that person's adalat would be questionable. It was questionable, his adalat. Thus his hadith would not be taken. His hadith would not be taken. So if a person in a community, he has a tarnished character because he is not adil, he is not just, then that person can no longer convey the prophetic teaching. And this was a shart in the previous generations. So we can see how serious it is to be a follower of this ayah, to adopt this ayah. This is very important. To have this quality of adalat is a sign of being a mu'min. It is a sign of iman, of faith. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the mu'mineen in this ayah. Ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, O you who have brought faith, that be upholders of justice. Because this is a quality that a mu'min is required to have. He is supposed to have. A mu'min are required to have these qualities. فَلَا تَتِّبُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا. So do not follow your whim such that you pervert your equity. وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُعْلِدُوا. But if you distort your testimony, أَوْ تُعْلِدُوا, and or you turn away, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Then know that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all-knowing. He is all-knowing of what you are doing. If you are turning away from the truth, if you distort your testimony and you turn away from the truth, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Whatever you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very well aware of that. فَيُجَازِكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. This is what is hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to recompense you based on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you in accordance to that. So this ayah is a very powerful ayah, and we should consistently ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ability to be honest and dutiful. When somebody asks us of any kind of shahadat, of any kind of opinion about somebody else. Ya alladhina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasuli. After this ayah, after these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then again exhorts the importance of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of affirming our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because to follow this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that it is very difficult. It is very difficult for one to give testimony against those who he loves. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya alladhina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasulih. That O you who believe, be steadfast. Be steadfast. Aminu billahi wa rasulih. Believe steadfastly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not waver. Do not waver in your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ay uthbutu alal iman wa dumu alayhi. Thabat and conviction upon iman is a requisite. Wa dumu alayhi and show mudawamat. A person should be mu'min at all times. A person should be in the state of iman at all times. And this is what the hadith alludes to. That a person, la yasriqu sariq hina yasriq wa huwa mu'min. That a person doesn't steal when he steals except that he is not a mu'min at that time. A person is encouraged to be in the state of iman at all times. It should be 24 hours. But when a person commits sin, this is when a person ceases. He stops from being a mu'min because he has committed something. He has committed an act against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has committed an act against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not matlub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. This is why the hadith says, La yasriqu sariq, hina yasriqu wa huwa mu'min. That a person who steals doesn't steal except that he is not a mu'min. A person doesn't commit zina. When he commits zina, he is not a mu'min. He is not a mu'min at the time. So one should be in the state of iman at all times. He should be in the state of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Wal kitab allazi nazala ala rasulihi. And be And the book that has been revealed to you, upon your I aminu bil Quran, bring faith upon the Quran, that which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wal kitab allazi unzila min qabl, and the books that were revealed prior to the Quran, all the samawi books, all the books that came from the heaven from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that were revealed before the Quran, belief in them is also a requisite in the original forms. So this alludes to the importance that, you know, we believe in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only do we believe in the Quran, but we believe in the books that came prior to the Quran as well. Because the teachings of those books were similar. They were similar in nature. They had similar themes. The theme was the same. That taqwa. Taqwa was a constant theme throughout those kitabs. So belief in those books is also a requisite. Not the distortions that came later on. Not the additions and subtractions that came later on. But the books in their original form, to believe in them, this is a requisite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll stop over here.